We appreciate them. Thank you, mothers, for all you do. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. Well, you know, I was thinking about this Mother's Day today, and I wanted to start out by telling a little story about how important mothers are. When our little girl over here was a T90, just barely born, and I remember, some of you don't know this, but it's easier to say Dada than it is to say Mama. And so when Laura Beth was first born, every time she'd get around us, it didn't matter if she was in her high chair or sitting in a chair or just crawling on the floor, she would always say, Dada, Dada. And I'm like, go girl, you know. And so she kept doing that. And of course, her mother would sit right in front of her face and she'd look at Laura Beth right in the face and she'd say, no, sweetheart, say Mama, Mama. And she'd look right at her in deadpan and she'd say, Dada, Dada. And so I got a big kick out of that because I thought, boy, this girl, she knows where it's at, calling on the name of Dada instead of Mama. But here's the thing about that, ladies. This is for you now, mothers. Once that little girl started learning how to say Mama, that was it. Amen. If she needed to be burped, Mama. If she didn't feel good, Mama. She wanted to go to bed at night, Mama. She's tired, Mama. She wants something to drink, Mama. You get the picture. Everything from that time on, it was just kind of centered on Mom, and it still is to this day. That doesn't mean that Daddy doesn't love her. It's just that mothers carry a special place within the family and especially among the children. But I had it, the Lord laid a message on my heart for this morning, and He told me to title it Mothers of Destiny. Mothers of Destiny. And the thing about mothers that I think is very unique, you know, I've gone to the hospital through the years so many times when mothers give birth to their first child. And if it's their first child, there's just something about the uncertainty and the big picture of, now I got this little child in my hands, this little precious little one, and what do I do with it? You know, there's a lot of, how do you do this thing? How do you mother? How do you parent? How do you become a good mother to this precious little baby that's just been born into the world? And I tell them this every single time I say, mothers, everything that your child needs for life, God has placed within you, and you dads too, but especially the mothers, God has placed within you mothers a unique ability to be able to know how to parent your little one, and little ones to come for those of you that have more than one. But he puts something special on the inside of the mothers that from the time they're a T90, if they're even listening to God even a little bit, the Lord will show that mother exactly what that child needs from the time it's a T90 baby all the way up through when they're a parent themselves. And how many of you know that once a mother, always a mother? It doesn't matter how old those youngins get, you're still, once you're their mother, you're always going to be their mother. And so the thing that the Lord tried to impress on my heart to speak, especially to the mothers about today on Mother's Day, is that God entrusts you mothers to love and nurture and encourage and instruct your children by precept and example. You know, the Bible says to train up a child, and that word train up in the Greek literally means to hedge in. Hebrew means the same. It means to hedge in. It says to train up a child in the way it should go. Doesn't necessarily mean the way it does go, but it says to train up a child in the way it should go. It says, and when that child is old, God promises that that child will not depart from that way. But the key to raising up the children in the way they should go, parents, and especially you mothers, is to be consistent in how you train your children. Amen. You got to be the same about it. You got to have a routine. You got to have a regimen about you. You got to do it according to God's word and by God's principles, by precept and example. It says to train up your children in the way they should go. In other words, God puts it in the mother's heart to know the way that a child should go. Now, you might not be the perfect parent for someone else's kids, but I'm telling you, mothers, you are the perfect parent for your child and your children to come. The reason why you are is because if God didn't believe that you could raise those children in the way they should go, he would not allow you to have them. Amen? Because he cares about those kids. He wants every child to grow up to be blessed. He wants every child to grow up to be loved. He wants every child to grow up and be secure. He wants every child to grow up and be happy and to be productive and to be fruitful and blessed in every area of their life. And God puts it in the mothers, especially the mothers. Now, the dads can help. They can reinforce. They can help to force the rules around the house. But by and large, it's the mothers that spend most of the time with the children. Can you mothers say amen to that? So there's a responsibility there to train up these children, mothers, in the way they should go. Glory to God. Does that mean that they're going to not make mistakes? Oh, they're going to make plenty of them. But if you keep loving and nurturing your children and you build your children up and you bless your children, you speak into your children's life and be a good example to your children, care for your children, give your children the time and the attention that they need, there is no question about it. When your children go through the maturing process, they're going to shine in the daycare. They're going to shine in the grade school. They're going to shine in the middle school. Come on, ladies, help me out. They're going to shine in the high schools. They're going to shine in the colleges. And when they get out into the world, they're going to shine as parents. And they're going to shine in college and in everything they do. And they too, because they've been raised up. They've been trained up right. When your children grow up and themselves become parents, the young mothers, they'll be just like their mamas were, because they'll learn from their mothers by precept and by example. Oh, glory to God. Say, mother, say, my children, my child, they are all special because they're mine. Amen. So he says to train them up. And then I like this. We're not going to take the time to go to these scriptures because, Pastor, he knows me. I always talk about it. Blessed are the short-winded because they'll get invited back. Well, I'm used to teaching in the Bible school, did that for a lot of years. So when I get an opportunity, it's kind of easy for me to just back up and let the tailgate down and just give you all I got. So I try to give you a mini seminar in just a short little while. But what the Lord impressed upon my heart was this. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, mothers, and dads too, by the way, but mainly mothers this morning, it says, if you raise up your children and you have the word plastered in the bathroom and plastered on your walls, and you talk the word to your children when they're getting up in the morning, and you talk to your children about the word through the day, and as a part of their normal life, you keep the word as a very, very important part of their life and their growing and maturing process. The word says that if you... Now, I didn't make this up, and this is even Old Testament. How many of you know we're under a better covenant? Established under, but under the old covenant, he says, mothers, if you'll train up your children and speak the word to them and put the word in their heart and make the word be a priority with your children, it says your children will, this is good. It says your children one day will grow up and they will inherit houses that they did not build. Oh, this is good. It says they will inherit wells that they did not dig, lands that they did not have to develop simply by being brought up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. So there's a promise there. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, if you'll train your children up to honor you, the Bible says in Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, it says, children, it says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It says it's the first promise of God for your children as you as parents. It says, number one, that it will go well with them. How many of you want it to go well with your children? Well, half of you do. Come on now. And it says in number two, it says, they will live long on the earth. Now, I didn't make this up. It says, if you raise up your children to honor you, your children, it says, it'll go well with them, and they will live long on the earth. Oh, that's a powerful promise, and sometimes people miss that. But God's desire for every one of your children is to have them have a good life and to live long on the earth. Can you say amen? Amen. And it says it'll go well with them. I like that. I want my children. I want it to go well for them. But you mothers need to know that you as mothers have what it takes to prepare your children to be the best they can be in life. and that is by faith. Now, the Lord told me to tell you this as parents. Mothers, your children are not perfect. How many of you know that already? But in the eyes of God, they are all called to be great for Him. So they're not perfect, but they're called by God to be great. And you need to know as mothers that in your house is wonderful potential. You can't even imagine the things that God has prepared for them. The Bible says, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him." In other words, you know, most people, it's sad to say, but I believe a lot of people live so far below the level that God really desires for them to live in. They walk in so much less than God has for them. Because God has nothing but great plans and great dreams for all of His children. But the mothers in life have a great, great responsibility because the Lord puts it in their heart to be able to see beyond the natural person, to see beyond the natural abilities that other people see in that child and in the home. And God sees nothing but greatness for every child that you women, you mothers, have given birth to. He has nothing but greatness in their plan and in their future, but you have to see that. You are mothers of destiny. And as the mother goes and as the home goes, so goes the world. It's a powerful thing in life to be a mother. But you have what it takes to lead and prepare your children. Like I said, they're not perfect, but they've been ordained and they've been called by God to do great things and to live a great life, to live a wonderful life. You as parents, you as mothers need to know that your children are God's handiwork. And they're born with destiny in them. You know, it says in the book of Jeremiah, the first chapter, when the Lord called Jeremiah to be a prophet from a young child, Jeremiah didn't realize it, but when Jeremiah was being talked to by the Lord, this is what the Lord told Jeremiah. He said, "Jeremiah, before you were ever born, when you were being fearfully and wonderfully handcrafted and made by God in your mother's womb, I knew you." And he said, even before you were born, even before your feet hit this planet, before you came out of your mother's womb, he said, even before that happened, he says, you were already ordained. It was already in my plan for you to be a prophet, and not just any kind of prophet, but a prophet to the nations. And I'm telling you that God, by His Spirit, wants to awaken you mothers. He wants to awaken you mothers this morning. I'm telling you, mothers, He wants to awaken you this morning that He has fantastic plans for the future of your sons and your daughters. And it doesn't make any difference how young they are. God has a great plan for your children's lives. Now, in the last service, I said this. Sometimes when I'm talking to mothers, I'm aware that there's mothers in the crowd, and you may have children that have already grown up and they're adults, and maybe they've made some mistakes along the way, and they might not even be where they're supposed to be. They've done some things probably just like you did when you got out of the house. Probably made some mistakes just like you did. Some of them, even today, some of you mothers, you might be thinking of some children right now, and they're not on the path that God's ordained for them to be on. They're maybe not where you know in your heart they should be. And you say, well, what do I do about that? Well, let me say it to you. Are you still praying over them? Amen. Are you still speaking the Word of God over them? Are you still seeking the Lord yourself? Are you still reading the Word? Are you still talking to the Lord in prayer and listening for Him to talk to you? Are you still coming to church? Are you serving the Lord? If you are, just keep on keeping on. That's the greatest favor you can do. Because Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, He's the same today, and He's going to be the same forever. Listen, the Word says that your seed is blessed after you. That's what you need to say about your children, no matter where they're at today. My seed is blessed after me. And God will arrest their heart and bring them right into His perfect will. And they can get back on the right track if that's the Lord is talking to you this morning about that. And then you got to know that you've got world changers in your home and in your family. You know, in the book of Philippians, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Every child of God is called to be an I can child of God. I had a friend in ministry years ago. He said, all the successes come in cans. Not can'ts, cans. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We serve a God who cares about our children enough to know that if we speak the word of God over our children and build them up and encourage our children, there is nothing that our children can't grow up to do or to be. Can you say amen? It's the truth. God has great things for our children, but we got to figure out a way to build them up every day. Now, I've got some kids that are already growing up and they've been a success all through life and they're going to keep being that way. And my little daughter down here, she's going into the 9th grade this year. But I believe with all my heart that years ago when I got a revelation of this, in John the 1st chapter, when it talks about Jesus, Jesus spoke this out and he said about the word, it says, in him was life and that life was the light of man. That word light means development. It means that that light, that life of God that comes down on the inside begins to develop you. Not just spiritually, but every way, every area of your life. He develops you mentally so you can think clearer. Glory to God. He develops you physically so you can have that Zoe life, the life of God. The Bible says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes us free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death can kill people, but you get a hold of the life of God and it'll cause you to be healthy when a lot of people around you are sick because of what's in you. And so years ago, when I learned that, I began to confess it over my kids that are adults. And Laura Beth, when we're taking her to school in the morning, every day, Nikki can testify to this. My daughter will tell you this is the truth. When we're taking her to school, driving down the road in the morning, when we've got a hold of her hand, we're saying something like this. Father, thank you that our child is very extremely blessed, that she is 10 times smarter than any unbelievers. Glory to God that she has the mind of Christ and the wisdom of God is formed within her. Thank you, Lord, that great is her peace and undisturbed composure. Thank you, Lord, that you bless everything our daughter sets her hands to. And whatever she touches, you bless it and prosper it. Whichever way our daughter goes, you bless her and prosper her. Because just like Jesus, every day our daughter is growing in wisdom. She's growing in stature. Our daughter is growing in favor with God and with man. We're building her up on the inside first so that her mind gets renewed and she's going to grow up. And whatever she does, she's going to be a blessing. I can tell you that right now. My seed is blessed after me, my children, my grandchildren. They're all blessed because the word works. And that's part of what motherhood is all about. It's not just nurturing a child by giving her food and clothing and shelter. It's by putting the word in them. It's by being an example to them. All those things work together for their good. So we can shape their destiny and build them up like we should in the way they should go. And we can do that by precept and example. There's a few little examples that I saw in the Word of God. One was the example of Hannah with Samuel. You know the story. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 11 through 19. In that text, it talks about Hannah. In her day, she was not able to have a child. It was bothering her, so she kept staying before the Lord, and she was in the temple one day praying just like she always had. When Eli, the prophet, got by her, he thought she was drunk because she just had a bad countenance about her. She was not optimistic at all. And she was very sorrowful because of her situation, and the prophet came up to her, and he says, "What's going on with you?" And he says, "Are you drunk or what?" You know, she looked at him. She says, "No, I'm not drunk. I'm just praying, talking to the Lord in my own little way." And he said, "Well, you know what? The Lord's going to give you the desire of your heart." When the Lord said that, Hannah was really smart because what she did was this. She said, well, we put it up there in the last service. We don't need to because of time. But she said, "Lord, if you give me that child, I'm going to give that child back to you." And in 1 Samuel 3, it says, in the day that Samuel lived, it says there was no open vision. There was no revelation. there was no knowledge of God. There was not one person in Samuel's day that even could hear the voice of God. And that's why you guys read the story about Samuel. You know, when he was just a teenage boy, it says he was in the temple there near Eli and he was trying to sleep. And the Lord started trying to talk to him because nobody else at that time could hear the voice of God. God was looking for someone in the house that could hear the voice of God. And Samuel finally came to the place where he could hear from God. And he went over to Eli and he said, "Hey, are you calling me?" And he said, "No, I'm not saying anything. Go back to bed. Well, I'm trying to sleep." He came back there several times and finally Eli got a brainstorm. He said, "Well, that must be God. So the next time he speaks to you, say, 'Lord, I'm your servant, speak to me.'" And then, you know, he began to talk to Samuel as a young boy and gave him revelation about Eli and about those bad boys that he had and the home and so forth and so on. But he had a revelation, and the Word says that he knew the Lord so well and had such a reputation to be able to hear from God when nobody else could, that the Word said that he knew God so accurately as a young man that not one word that he spoke fell to the ground. That's the kind of relationship that he had with God. How could he have a relationship like that with God? How could that young guy hear from God like that? Because he had a mama that was smart enough to say, "Lord, I know that you've given me this child. This is a blessing from you. But right in turn, I'm giving this child back to you. I'm putting this child in your hands." So we're going to fast forward a little bit and give you another example. Over there in Exodus chapter 2, when it talks about Moses, the children of Israel at that time were 400 years in bondage, and they were being treated worse than dogs. They were not only slaves, but everything they made, they had to give it away. They had no life. For 400 years, they were mistreated and misabused and mistreated. 400 years it was like that. And finally, the Lord looked over all the people there of Israel, and he couldn't find anybody that would deliver. And then all of a sudden, Jochebed, you know who Jochebed is? Some of you do, some of you don't. Jochebed was Moses' mama. Not only was she Moses' mama, but she was Aaron's mama. Aaron became a mouthpiece for God. Not mouthpiece, that doesn't sound good. A mouthpiece for God. And then his sister Miriam knew the Lord so well that later on when they had a victory over those Pharaoh and his bunch, that she led all the nation of Israel in the praises and worship of God. She knew how to use her tambourine. But Moses at that time, the Word says when he was a little bitty boy and he was born into the world, that mama saw something special about this little guy. And Pharaoh had a decree all throughout the land that if any baby boy was born of the Israelites, get rid of them. The girls could be born, they were okay. But the guys, they said, if it's a little boy, get rid of them. Well, Jochebed, Moses' mom, realized that there was something special about this little guy and her family. So she raised him and watched over him as long as she could. And when he got to be about 4 months old, the Word says, he was such a lively little rascal. He made so much noise in the house that she could no longer keep it a secret. So she did something that was amazing. Not only did she protect that child where she could have been killed if the child was found out, but she did something else with that little guy. She lifted that little child, Moses, up before the Lord when he was still a baby. He wasn't a deliverer. He wasn't an adult. He was just a little bitty baby. But she lifted that child up before the Lord, I believe, and she said, "Now, Father, there's a special, special thing about this child. I don't know exactly what it is, but I know there's something special about this child. And I can't protect him anymore. Lord, I've done all I know to do. I've done all I can possibly do with this little baby, but I can't keep him anymore. And so, Lord, there's only one thing I can do with Moses, and that's to put this little baby back in your hands." And that was a smart thing for her to do. The Word says she took little baby Moses and put him in a basket. Actually, we say basket. The Word says it's an ark. An ark is a place of safety. She put little Moses in that basket. And the Bible says she brought it down there by the water and put it by the bulrushes. Now, I like how R.W. Shambach, he was a great preacher. He's with the Lord now. But he tells it a little bit different. He says, "Do you mind if I use my imagination a little bit?" The Lord knows exactly where we're supposed to be. He knew where Pharaoh's daughter was going to be on that day. So can I use my imagination just a little bit? When Moses was put into that basket, R.W. Shambach said it like this. He said, "I believe when Moses was put in that basket that the Holy Spirit was watching the whole thing. And as soon as the baby was put in that basket, he says, I believe the Holy Spirit went on the basket. And blew that basket exactly where it needed to be in the bulrushes. And when Pharaoh's daughter walked by the water that day, she found the very place where that little ark was, and baby Moses was there. And you guys know the rest of the story. She said, this is a pretty little baby. I know it's a little Hebrew baby, but I got to find someone to take care of it. Isn't that just like God? And they gave the baby right back to the mama. And the mama took that baby and put it on her breast. And not only that, but she got paid to do it. Think about that. That's a pretty good deal. Raised him up. And from that little bitty baby that could have died, he became the leader of the children of Israel. And that one little baby that grew up to be a man delivered between 2 and 3 million people. Think about that. You say, well, what does that have to do with me? Did you know that in today's world, there are so many different kind of viruses and things going on that the Bible says that God gives us the knowledge of witty inventions. Isn't that right? In other words, God knew about computers long before computers ever got here. Did you guys ever figure that out? And everything that God has locked up in his wisdom and knowledge and ability, it's all locked up. And my Bible tells me that the wealth of the sinners, come on now, it's laid up for the just. There are inventions that some of your babies are going to come up with. There's ideas that some of your children, God's going to lay it on their heart, and those ideas are going to bless the nations of the earth. He's going to give them creative ideas that they're going to unleash on the world, and it's going to fund the gospel in these last days all over the world. I've said this for many, many years. I've been a preacher for a lot of years, and I've said this for a lot of years. This is a saying that I hope nobody in here forgets, especially you mothers. Anybody can count the number of seeds that are in an apple, but only God knows how many apples are in that seed. And I'm telling you, when the Bible says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. I'm telling you, mothers, that God has some awesome, awesome, awesome plans for your children. But you've got to be able to see that. Amen? He's got great plans for them. Oh, this is good stuff. I hope you're listening this morning. You are mothers of destiny. You have children in your home right now that are children of destiny. And some of you don't realize this, but in your home this morning, in your possession right now, in your families, there are doctors in the house. There's scientists in the house. Glory to God. There's entrepreneurs in the house. There's people that are going to be tremendous preachers and teachers and evangelists and creators that are in your house. I said they're in your house. Glory to God. But you got to know that. Not only is your children called to a destiny, but you are as well as their mothers. And it's up to you to realize your house isn't just any house. Your house is an incubation place. It's an incubation place for people that are going to change our world forever and ever and ever. It's just that they're in some phase of development right now. But I'm telling you, only heaven knows the things that God's prepared for your young'uns. And you got to believe that. You got to believe, mothers today, that you are mothers of destiny. You've got to believe this morning that in your house is greatness. You've got to believe that in your house are children that are going to change our world and change the destiny of many, many nations this morning. Right in this place. Oh, hallelujah. I thank God for you mothers. Because the destiny of this world is being shaped by you mothers right now by what you're doing. Every action you're taking is making a difference. Every prayer that you pray, it's making a difference. Every act of love and kindness that you do, it's making a difference in our world. And it's going to make a difference for time and eternity. You know, when Elizabeth was born, Elizabeth, I don't think when she was little growing up that she was going to give birth to a guy named John who became a voice of one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. And then here comes Mary. And Mary was just minding her own business when God came to her and talked to her and told her about a son that was going to be born of her. And I know this is not Christmas time, but when I was thinking about Mary and just how powerful that one mother's influence can be, and then in the light of not really understanding just exactly the potential that you have that are on the inside of your children, that only heaven knows the development that can take place by you mothers nurturing and developing your children and believing in them and speaking the word of God over them and prophesying over them and encouraging them and develop them every way you know how. But this was a song, and it's usually sang at Christmas time, and I know that, so just bear with me. But I wanted to give it in the light of Mothers of Destiny, talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is a song y'all know. I'm not going to sing it. Tell your neighbor, thank God Brother Dean's not going to sing it. I want you to stay here and not run out the back door, you know. Glory. You know, I'm more scriptural than a lot of you are that way. You know that, don't you? The word says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I qualify. But here's how the words go. It says, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? The child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss this little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, and the deaf will hear, and the dead, they'll rise again. The lame will walk, and the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding, glory to God, is the great I am. Oh, Mary, did you know? Oh, what a song. What a song. Glory to God. You know, the last mother that I want to make mention of here is, well, actually, it's two together. Timothy, his grandmother was Lois, and then Eunice was his mother. But it was said of them that they knew what Timothy was going to be like because his grandma and his mom, they raised him up in unfeigned faith. In other words, they brought this young'un up in a way that he just believed that his faith could do anything. That's the kind of heritage that he had. And he got that heritage from his grandmother. And she was smart enough to pass it down to her daughter. And she was smart enough to pass it down to her son. But they knew what it would do. And I'm telling you, when you go to a church like this and you hear these things, I know for some of you, it's like a spiritual wake-up. It's just like getting your battery recharged. And you're thinking, my gosh, if I only realize what I've had in my home. And you know, even if your children are fully grown and they're out the door, keep saying, my seed is blessed after me. No matter what they're doing, my seed is blessed after me. No matter what they're going through, my seed is blessed after me. No matter what the troubles they face, keep saying, my seed is blessed after me. You say, why is that important? Because Jesus is called the high priest of our confession. And it says, let us hold fast our profession of faith without wavering. Why? Because God is faithful that promised. It says, let us hold fast to saying the same thing. Keep on saying, my seed is blessed. Keep on saying, my sons are blessed. Keep on saying, my daughters are blessed. Keep on saying, my family is blessed. Glory to God. If you'll keep on doing that, it'll be the washing of water by the word of God. And you keep planting that word and you keep watering that word and you give that word time. And remember what the Lord said in Isaiah. He says, my word is not void. My word comes down from heaven like snow and like rain. And he says, and it waters the earth and it gives life to it. He says, it will not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and my word will prosper in everything that I send it into. Send the word, mothers, into your sons. Send the word, mothers, into your daughters. Send the word into your children's future. Speak the word. Send the word. Pray the word. Talk the word. And the word will work in your children. And your children will grow up to be strong. And your children will grow up to be healthy. And your children will grow up to be productive. And your children will grow up with destiny in their heart. And your children will grow up and they'll be powerful. They'll be influential. Your children will change Flowood, Mississippi. They'll change Jackson, Mississippi. They'll change the state of Mississippi. They'll change the Deep South. Your children will change the United States of America. Your children will change the islands of the seas. Glory be to God. Your children will change heaven and earth. They'll change the political realm. They'll change the scientific realm. Glory to God. They'll change every realm of their life because they're a product of you mothers speaking the word of God over your children. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. I'm excited about this morning, mothers. The Lord told me to say this to you, mothers. He said, you do your best. Glory to God. And God says, I'll do the rest. See, that's the good thing about God. I tell this, you know, we haven't had Bible school going on since we've been over here. We'll get it going again. Just give us some time. But I've said this for a lot of years. The Lord will watch over his word to make it good in your life and in your children's life because he is no respecter of persons. Amen. What he said he'll do because he loves you. And you know what? None of us are perfect, but I'll tell you what, God is not done with us and he's not done with our kids and he's not done with our future. We do our best and let God do the rest. I'm going to end with this little illustration. When our little girl down here, she's going to be in ninth grade next year, but in 2004 in May, she was still over there at Pine Lake. And, you know, a lot of you moms have seen this in the daycare and other places where they'll take your young'un's little bitty hand and they'll put it in the, you know, in the different colored ink or whatever. And then they'll put it on a piece of paper or a plaque or whatever, and then they'll give it to you. And when you get it, it's a pretty amazing thing because you see how little their little hand is. But then you realize it doesn't take very many years to fast forward to where they're not that little child that they used to be. And life goes on a rapid pace. If you haven't figured that out yet, you will. Amen. Time is moving forward quickly. But on this little plaque, this is what we keep up on our mantle in our home. And this is what it says. And this is about your children today, mothers. This is about your children. We're talking about your children this morning, mothers. It says, sometimes you get discouraged because I am so small and always leave my fingerprints on the furniture and the walls. But every day I'm growing up and soon I'll be so tall that all those little fingerprints will be hard to recall. So here's a special handprint just so that you can say, this is how my fingers looked when I placed them here today. Mothers, you are mothers of destiny, and your children are destined by God to do great things. You do your best, and God, he will do the rest. Mothers, we know that you're not perfect, but I'll tell you what, you're great, and we applaud you. Men, let's applaud our mothers this morning. Amen. We applaud you. We applaud you. Men, we can do better than that. Mothers, we applaud you. We thank God for you mothers. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for our mothers. Thank you, Lord, for blessing our mothers. Thank you, Lord, for all our mothers mean to us and all they've done for us. Lord, we don't take it for granted. We love our mothers. We honor our mothers. We bless our mothers. Thank God for godly mothers. Can you say amen? Amen? Amen. Short and sweet and to the point. Glory to God. Well, you know, we're going to go ahead and receive communion in a moment here. And so I'm going to ask the praise and worship team to come on up. And you know, one of the things that I can remember as a child was going to the family reunions, and always it was